Greetings. This is Diana Pulliam with the Mighty Hand of God. Today I'd like to introduce a topic which two of my sisters in Christ are going to be speaking to you about in a three-part series. The general topic is God's covenant. Now, if you've been a follower of Jesus Christ for any length of time, you've most likely heard about covenant. But do you really know what it is? You know, what is the covenant? And do you know what it means to you? What does covenant with God have to do with you? How many covenants are there? Is that why the Bible's divided into two parts? Are there two? And why does all this matter? Personally, I believe it matters greatly because what I've witnessed is much confusion surrounding the topic of covenant. And we know God's not the author of confusion. So we invite you to join us for all three sessions and walk through this together. Let's just walk through this together. This is a three-part series. It's going to cover, in part one, the Abrahamic covenant. And then part two is the Mosaic covenant. And part three is Jesus, his covenant. What did Jesus come to do? What did he not come to do? The new covenant. What is that? What did he really come to do and not to do? Part three, just know everything will be brought together. Let me introduce and welcome Esther White. Esther's going to take the mic, introduce and lead us through part one of this three-part series. Esther?
Thank you, Diana. We're going to start in prayer. Father, we just thank you for correcting our steps and leading us back to you and learning your ways and your will and how you have set a pattern for us to follow you. Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy towards us. We thank you, Father, as we learn who you are in our lives and who we are, may you continue to bless us with your presence. Father, I pray that you bless the hearing of those who's listening. Father God, as you continue to anoint my lips and may these words dwell in their heart, your love for them. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Oh, Abrahamic covenant. Why is this study relevant at this time? The Abrahamic covenant is vital today because it still shapes our faith, prophecy, and identity in Christ. We are in the last days of the church age, and so many do not understand the significance and having a covenant relationship with Yahweh that leads to eternal life. We have been misled and operating outside of faith that keeps us in a cycle with little to no hope. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the errors of lawless people and lose your own stability. This is 2 Peter 3:17. So when you read Matthew 24:10, that many will fall away, take heed to understand why a covenant relationship grounded in Torah is relevant now. Let's break this cycle. The purpose of this study is to strengthen your resolve in understanding the character of Yahweh and how he unilaterally bonds himself to his word to guide you to the path of righteousness for his name's sake. First, we will speak of the component parts of the covenant. One, and Yahweh making Abraham a great nation. 2, blessing him personally. And 3, blessing all nations in Abraham. Then within each component, the unconditional oath will be listed in chronological order. 2, we will follow the covenant to Abraham's son, Isaac, and his son, Jacob, name changed to Israel, and how that same word applies to you today. Finally, throughout the lesson, we will highlight where it points to Jesus in the New Testament and witness him fulfilling his Father's will. As covenant keepers being first fruit and joint heirs of Christ, we inherited the promises and blessings as we continue to diligently follow his plans for our lives in building the kingdom of Yahweh. The surety of the Abrahamic covenant is that it is unconditional, everlasting, irrevocable, and cannot be contested. There are 4 qualifiers that validates Yahweh's covenant: a proposal, an agreement, blood ratified, and a covenant meal. Let's begin. A divine relationship, the proposal and agreement. Genesis 12:1. Now Yahweh had said to Abram, get out of your country and from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Leaving that which is familiar is difficult, but going into unknown territory requires developing an intimate relationship in adhering to Yahweh's voice and guidance in every aspect of the journey. Abram, at the age of 75, was told to leave Ur of the Chaldeans to a land that Yahweh would show him. He renounced his identity and agreed to travel with his family by faith. You would notice throughout Abram's journey, there are obligations placed on him that required him to respond accordingly. Once Abram followed in obedience, Yahweh's vision for Abram's life grew exponentially. When Abram agreed to Yahweh's proposal and went to Canaan by faith, Yahweh spoke, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. That's Genesis 12:2. Component number 1, and I will make you a great nation. The following scriptures highlight his oath in making Abram a great nation, the land with the seed. 1, and Yahweh appeared to Abram and said, to your seed would I give this land. And there he built an altar to Yahweh who appeared to him. Genesis 12:7. And Yahweh said to Abram, after Lot was separated from him, lift up now your eyes and look from the place where you are northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which you see, to you I will give it and to your descendants forever. Genesis 13:14-15. And I will make your seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then your seed also can be numbered. And this is where it starts to grow, because in this next chapter, Genesis 15:5, Yahweh says, look now toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your seed be. Next one, which is Genesis 15:18-21, reads, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt as far as the great river Euphrates, the Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. Is all included within this land that God has given him. Last verse. This is in Genesis 17 and 8. And I will give to you and to your seed after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their Yahweh. Component number two, I will bless you and make your name great. The covenant meal. Abram is called a Hebrew, and his covenant with Yahweh is distinguished from the post-flood nations. In Genesis 10, verses 20 to 32. His faith anchored our identity as spiritual heirs of Yahweh's promises because we are Abraham's offspring. Galatians 3 and 29. In the War of the Kings in chapter 14, Abram was victorious in rescuing Lot, his family, and their possessions. This victory gave him a seat with Melchizedek, king of Salem, and a priest of the Most High. He brought out bread and wine and blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of Yahweh Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be Yahweh Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And Abram gave him tenth of all. The spiritual sustenance of the pronounced covenant meal and the blessing solidify his presence and his protection continually over your life. This is not a one-time blessing. It is an everlasting relational covering within the Abrahamic covenant. Purpose to walk closely in communion with L.L. Young, the one who has the supreme authority and sovereignty over all creations, all nations, all powers. Abram's divine appointment with Melchizedek parlayed into the Abrahamic covenant for his descendants to be appointed as kings and priests within Yahweh's kingdom, Revelation 1 and 6. Like Melchizedek, Jesus is born priest and king who blesses us with the favor of Yahweh. This is reaffirmed in Hebrews chapter 7 verses 1 to 3. Verse 3 reads, "Without father, without mother, without records in any genealogy, without start of days, nor any end of life. But this one was like the son of Yahweh, who is the one that abides in his priesthood in ongoing victory." Hebrews chapter 7 verses 15 and 28. And it is yet far more evident if, in the likeness of Melchizedek, there arises another priest who has come not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. For he testifies, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." For on the one hand, there is an annulling for the former commandments because of its weakness and unprofitableness. For the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. And inasmuch as he was not made priest with an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he was an oath by him who said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Also, there are many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices first to his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weakness, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. A ceremony and a sign. The ceremony recorded in Genesis 15 verses 9 through 21 and the sign given in Genesis chapter 17, 10 through 21 finalized the Abrahamic covenant and all the requirements of making the land and the seed a great nation. Yahweh binds himself to fulfill all the promises he made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, 1 through Genesis chapter 15 and 5. All that is required is for his children to believe in the work he has set in motion and to walk by faith and following his guidance and instructions. In Genesis 15, after the war, Yahweh encouraged Abram and said, "Fear not, Abram. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward." Abram questioned Yahweh about him being childless and how would he know that his seed will inherit the land. And his promises to Abram that he would have a child and be a father of many descendants, too innumerable to count, will come to pass. Abram believed Yahweh and it was counted to him as righteousness. To reaffirm his word to Abram, a ceremony that is familiar is performed. An ancient covenant ceremony known as a covenant cutting where animals were split in half except the birds. And the parties involved would walk between the pieces, signified a binding agreement with the implication that breaking the covenant would result in a fate similar to that of the animals. In this context, Yahweh passes between the pieces by himself, indicating that he is unilaterally committing to the promises made to Abram. This foreshadows the one covenant through Jesus Christ, where Yahweh takes the initiative to fulfill his promises to humanity. Now, when the sun went down, Yahweh caused a deep sleep to fall upon Abram. And behold, a terror of great darkness fell upon him. During that time, Yahweh foretold to Abram what would happen to his descendants and what he would do to avenge them. Your descendants shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them for 400 years. I will judge that nation, and afterward they shall come out with great substance. You shall go to your fathers in peace. You will be buried in good old age. The fourth generation shall come here again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. When it was dark, Yahweh appeared as a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between these pieces. Smoke and fire are often associated with Yahweh's presence, judgment, and his holiness. The imagery of sacrifice and covenant here points to the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus, who established an everlasting covenant through his death and resurrection. This ceremonial covenant is considered blood ratified. Yahweh had promised to give the land, and now it is covenanted to give as a land grant because he cannot die. The covenant is unilateral, and the possession of the land for Abram and his descendants will definitely become a great nation. A fiduciary commitment. chapter 17. Walk before me and be blameless. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. 13 years earlier, Abraham and Sarai took matters into their own hands in having a son. In humility, Abram repented and renewed his vow when Yahweh commanded him to walk before me and be blameless. Yahweh declared, no longer shall your name be called Abram. Your name should be Abraham, for I will make you a father of a multitude of nations. A name change that identified his life, surrendered as a covenant keeper. This is a work that only Yahweh can do. As in a covenantal marriage, let the weight of your husband's oath awaken your heart and perfecting his vision for you. Will you fully trust and believe his commitment to you? How will you respond? Genesis 17, verses 4 through 8 states, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of many nations, but your name shall be Abraham, for I will make you the father of many nations. I have made you, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you, and throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be Yahweh to you and to your descendants after you. And I will establish my covenant between my word and you and your seed after you and their generations as an everlasting covenant to be Yahweh to you and to your seed after you. And I will give to you and to your seed after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I will be their Yahweh. The covenant sign, circumcision. This is my covenant, which you shall keep, a sign of the covenant between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. It symbolizes the commitment that the Israelites were to follow Yahweh's laws and to be set apart as his chosen people. It represented that the purity, obedience, and dedication to Yahweh should remain central to the faith in him. Yahweh commands circumcision as a covenant sign, a cutting off of sin and a symbolic death, foreshadowing a relational covenant that culminates at the cross, burial, and resurrection and the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. Romans 4, verses 23-25. Abraham's faith recorded in the New Testament, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also, and the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. Romans chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Jesus' fulfillment in the cutting away circumcision ceremony. In him, you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of Yahweh, who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. Appointed times. Yahweh reaffirmed his word by giving Abraham and Sarah the appointed time. And as prophetic events, when their son will be born. He did this in Genesis chapter 17, verse 21, Genesis 18 and 14, and Genesis 21 and 2. And that his everlasting covenant will be with Isaac and his seed after him. Genesis chapter 17, verses 7, 13, and 19. In biblical history, Jesus fulfilled the appointed times in his birth, circumcision, crucifixion, and resurrection, emphasizing Yahweh's sovereign plan in redeeming his people. A son is born, a son is offered. At Yahweh's appointed time, Sarah conceived and bore the covenant son to Abraham. On the eighth day, Isaac was circumcised. After a course of time, Yahweh tested Abraham to take his only son and offer him as a sacrifice. Isaac carried the wood on his back to the altar and was bound by his father. Abraham stretched forth his hand to slay his son, but the angel of Yahweh stopped him and provided a ram in the bush as a burnt offering. He feared Yahweh, since he was not willing to withhold his only son. Abraham passed the test in showing he was willing to do what God asked of him by faith. Then Yahweh blessed them. Because you have not withheld your only son, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gates of their enemies. And in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Genesis chapter 22, verses 17 and 18. It is recorded in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the scroll of the generations of Jesus, the Messiah, son of David, the son of Abraham, who stated, "For I came down from the heavens not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." John chapter 6, verse 38. At the same exact location, at the appointed time, Yahweh's only begotten son, Jesus, carried his cross and was crucified as the substitutionary sacrifice for our sins. John chapter 19, verses 17-42. Third component, you shall be a blessing. This is what Yahweh said about Abraham. "For I have chosen him in order that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, in order that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him." After the death of Abraham, his descendants lived on to receive Yahweh's promises. Because of Abraham's obedience, Yahweh reaffirmed his promises to Isaac as recipient of his covenant commitment. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and to your descendants, I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham, your father, and I will make your descendants to multiply as the stars of the heaven, and will give to your descendants all these countries, and in your descendants shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Genesis 26, verses 3 through 5. Throughout Isaac's journey with Yahweh, you will witness the relational covenant and promises he speaks over him. As I was with your father, so will I be with you. The blessing of Jacob. Jacob deceived his father Isaac in order to receive his brother's Esau's blessing. Therefore, may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and new wine. Let people serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brother, and let your mother's son bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. Genesis chapter 27, verse 28 through 29. Isaac's blessings and instruction for Jacob to take a wife from the daughters of Laban, his mother's brother, and Al Shaddai bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, and you shall become a company of nations. And Al Shaddai give you the blessing of Abraham to you and to your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a sojourner, which Yahweh gave to Abraham. During Jacob's travel, he stopped in Haran and spent the night. He dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Genesis chapter 28, verse 12 through 15. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Yahweh removed his old identity and identified him as being a covenant keeper, for he struggled with Yahweh and with men and prevailed. Genesis chapter 32, verses 27 to 28, the New Testament fulfilled in affirmation. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment and the continuance of the Abrahamic covenant. From Genesis to Revelation, he is revealed as the ultimate heir of the covenant promises, Galatians 3 and 16. Through him, the global blessing promised in Genesis 12 and 3 is accomplished, granting salvation to both Jews and Gentiles. An Israelite must come to faith, leading to repentance, to experience Yahweh's deliverance and blessings. Acts chapter 3, verses 19 through 26. Worldwide blessings continue. The command to be a blessing resonates with believers who carry the gospel to all nations. Matthew 28 and 19. The Abrahamic covenant underscores the global scope of God's redemptive, self-sacrificial love, that you may not die, but live eternally with him. Conclusion. Again, why should this be relevant to you? Abraham surrendered his life to be preserved under Yahweh's covenant. When you purpose in your heart to seek him, you will be found. Not of the flesh, but born of the spirit, received the promise of the seed. From the earliest chapters of Genesis through Revelation, brings forth a covenant and how to follow Christ, the one who holds the vision. For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us? For whatever reason we may call upon him. And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law, which I set before you this day? It is also a people bound by shared covenant, with Yahweh being glorified. The divine intervention delivers you from a rebellious land to participate in his promises and blessings. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 24 through 28. You must capture this vision. By faith, Abram obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in a land of promise as in a foreign country. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is Yahweh. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. His divine promises are secured and fulfilled across generations, revealed in Jesus Christ as the seed of Abraham. But more, as we closely follow, his identity is instilled in us, which identifies us as covenant keepers, his own, thereby creating a seat at the table with him. He has proven himself again and again. Enjoy the journey.
Oh, thank you, Esther. I love that. You brought out the components of a covenant with God. The proposal usually follows an act of obedience when God actually proposes what he's going to do. And Abraham was told, as far as that obedience goes, Abraham was told to leave his father's house, to go to a place God would show him. And Abraham obeyed. He did what God told him to do. It was then that God proposed to Abraham what he was going to do. You know, make his name great. He'd be a blessing. His seed would be multiplied as the sand of the sea. And God would give Abraham's seed the land as far as his eyes could see. And God demonstrated how he'd be with Abraham. He'd fight for Abraham and deliver his enemies into his hand, as he did in that war with the kings. And then there's the agreement, which is the acceptance. Abraham accepted, you know, through the sharing of a meal, the bread and the wine with Melchizedek, who we know represented Jesus Christ, as you aptly brought out, our high priest. And then the blood ratification, the sealing of the covenant between the two parties. This is a ceremony God knew Abram would understand the meaning of, it because it was common to make agreements that way in Abraham's culture. But instead of both parties walking between the pieces as they did in Abraham's time, God walked it alone, pointing to Jesus Christ. Jesus would pay the price if the covenant was broken. Everything pointing to Jesus. Abraham passed the test. He passed the ultimate test. He was willing to offer his own son, pointing to God the Father, willing to offer his own son, Jesus. Abraham passed the ultimate test. And as we know, God carried out his part of the agreed upon covenant. You know, when that covenant was ultimately broken, God paid the death penalty himself. And Esther, you closed with some powerful advice. You said that we need to really capture the invitation God's given to mankind, to capture that redemptive plan of Yahweh so you can have a seat at the table with him. That's critical advice. Because examining the covenant Yahweh made with Abraham will reveal God's redemptive plan for all mankind, for you and me. Thank you again, Esther. Thank you so much. It's a beautiful teaching on the Abrahamic covenant. So this concludes part one, and we pray everyone will join us for part two, the Mosaic covenant, which is going to be presented by Tracy Carlucci. Blessings to all.